so good. This stuff is so good. And it just felt led. And so we're not going to quite get to that, but that, yeah, there's the title. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 5. I don't know who this is for. It might be for one person in here. It might be for a couple. It might be for every one of us. I don't know. And I don't know exactly how the Lord wants to apply it to you. But I trust him that he's going to do that part. This is about a man named Naaman. Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. And the king loved this guy, okay? But he was a valiant warrior, it says, but he had leprosy, which was a problem because it meant that he could eventually that could take his life. But here it just so happened. I don't believe in chance. I believe that God does things. In verse 2, it says, "Now bands from Aram came, had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.'" You hear the faith in that little girl? I mean, obviously we don't know how old she is. All you need to do is go to the prophet in Israel. So Naaman went to the king and said, "Hey, this is what this little girl says. I'd like to try it. This could be an option for me so that I don't have leprosy any longer." The king says, "I want you well. I'll write a letter to the king of Israel so that, you know, there won't be any problems. They won't think that we're coming for ulterior motives." So, but the king of Israel gets this letter and he's like, he tears his clothes because he's upset. He's frightened a little bit. He says, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow," that the other king, send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." And I have to repent there myself, because I have operated in unbelief at times as a minister of the gospel. I don't heal one person, never have, never will. But the Jesus in me can do anything. Right? Not Chad, not Deborah, but the Jesus in Deborah can do anything. So therefore, Deborah, you and I, each and every one of us have to learn to say, "I'm nobody, Jesus, I want him to be in the forefront." Okay? And then verse 8 says, "When Elisha, the man of God, the prophet, when he heard the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message, 'Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel.'" I love Elisha's faith. He says, "This is no problem for my God. Send him over. Send him here. We'll take care of this." Man, isn't that challenging? Because we know that we don't heal, but the Jesus in us. Will you allow me to use another term? The Holy Spirit in us? Because technically, Jesus is in heaven. Jesus himself said it. He said, "Guys, I'm going away." Say what? Nuh-uh. Say it isn't so. Please, no. We can't live. We can't survive without you, Jesus. What if a big wave or storm comes again? And we're out in the boat. You won't be there to say, peace, be still. He said, I'm going away. It's okay, though, because I'm going to send you another advocate. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that can do everything Jesus did and more, because then it's multiplied over and over and over in lives, in Warsaw and around the world. Am I being too loud? Guys, quietly say hi to Jameson. Is it Jameson? Yeah. What a man, that's cool. I forget they come that little. Every time I'm like, oh yeah, little bitty. The Holy Spirit can do everything that Jesus did. Pastor, you're getting out there on a ledge. No, I'm not. Read the scriptures. Read it. Well, we don't know about this Holy Spirit thing. Then jump in the scriptures. Understand the Word of God. And then here, I'm still in 2 Kings chapter 5. I just bounced to the New Testament, book of John, and now we're back to 2 Kings chapter 5. Have Naaman come to me, the prophet said. Verse 9, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Now this is where I think it's kind of a little bit humorous. I'm sorry. Elisha sent a messenger to him. Elisha sent his servant to this army commander, Naaman. And the servant tells him, the aide says, where am I at here? Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. And Naaman should have said, sweet, it's not that far away. That's all I have to do? But that's not what happened. Well, not yet. Verse 11, but Naaman went away angry and said, okay, so y'all are picturing this. Naaman went away angry. We get angry in our hearts. We don't always show it by the folded hands or the wrinkled forehead. We get angry. Look what he said. Sorry, I lost my place again. I thought that he would surely come out to me. And then he would stand there and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me. I thought it was going to go down like this. I thought that he should, in my mind, it should have been that he came out and he did it this way. And he did what I thought he should do. This is for somebody today. I'm angry with God because he didn't do it like I thought he should do it. Whatever that was. This applied to me in relation to the king. I had to say, Lord, forgive me. But I think for somebody else, and maybe myself, we have to say, Lord, you didn't do that the way I want. Maybe you have stopped right there and not been able to go on, spiritually speaking, and grow and mature in your faith because God didn't do it how you wanted him to do it. Listen, I want to gently but firmly remind you that God doesn't have to do it your way. He doesn't have to do it my way. Listen, some of you know I'm pretty particular. My dad is the one that laughed. My mom would have laughed, but she's downstairs with the kids. I'm trying to learn to let go and say, God, you get to do it how you want. In here or anywhere. And so, and then, but then Naaman got upset also because he said, well, aren't the other rivers in our town, in our area, better than the Jordan River? So he turned away and walked away in a rage. He walked away. He was upset. This guy was ticked. He was hot. He was fuming. I think God should have done it like this. Amen. Look what happened to this little girl. Well, it doesn't say it was the girl. It says it was a servant. Naaman's servant went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done that? Might have been very difficult. Wouldn't you have done it? Wouldn't you have just bucked up and did what the prophet said so that you could receive your healing? Did you hear that? So you could receive your healing? How much more then when he tells you, just wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. God did more. Maybe you're mad because the leader didn't do it like you thought he should or she should. I ask you to be gracious to me as your leader. You need to know this, I fight for you. And I'll continue to fight for you. Because you're my people. You know what I'm saying? I love you. And I fight on my knees. I fought for you a while ago. I'll continue to do that. I promise you. Another promise. I'm going to preach the word of God to you. And if you don't like it, that's not my fault. Sometimes I'm going to step on your toes. I never do it to hurt you. Look, read the letters that Paul wrote. He had to say some things that were difficult. And it hurt people from time to time. He said, listen, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to hurt you. But I had to say what needed to be said. Sometimes you're going to walk out of here and you'll be like, wow, that was awesome. And sometimes you might walk out being like, I'm still not sure what I think about it. And that's okay. Because I'm not called to make you happy. Don't forget that. I'm not. Jesus didn't call me when I was 19 and say, yes, Chad, when you get older, you're going to pastor a church, and my goal for you, my calling on your life is to make them happy. Come on, can somebody give me an amen? Amen. I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm called to lead people to Jesus. I'm called to encourage and challenge people in the Word of God and to grow in a closer relationship with Jesus. And that was not even my message for today. You want the message? Good. Galatians. It's not very long. Well, anyway. Hey, I want to remind you, thanks for being such a great, great audience this morning. I don't know who that was for, but let's take it to heart. The Lord's really been stirring me all morning. Matter of fact, I asked Larry and Judy to stay. I said, guys, I don't know what's getting ready to happen, but I'd like you to be here for it. Little did I know that there would be, the other. Can I also say, there have been 4 different people tell me, Pastor, there's going to be a move of God here. and I already know it in my heart. If somebody comes up to you and prophesies stuff over you that you're like, huh? It might not be God. What I have found is it's always a confirmation of what God already does on the inside. What God's doing in you, it confirms those things. It's there to kind of like Gideon's fleece to say, okay, I know I'm on the right track. Does that make sense? So I just hide it in my heart, and I smile and I grin and I say, oh Lord, why me? I'm nobody. I mess up. I'm human. But I've got the Spirit of the living God living in me. There's nothing we can't do, church. It's time for you and I, us as a body, to rise up and be the church. Again, we don't go around trying to offend people. But there is a calling on our lives. Galatians chapter 1. This is part one. The title of this message is A Different Way. And that is a negative thing in this particular case. But I'm going to give you a little bit of background. This book written to the churches in Galatia, and this was written to many churches in a region. This was written by Paul, and which you'll find that out here in just a moment. This was most likely the first letter he wrote. And so it was just literally, you might have heard the term epistle. That simply means it's a fancy word for saying it's a letter. He wrote it and sent it. This letter was written in response to some false teachers who had come in after Paul had left. Paul was this guy that he would go from place to place, and he would lead people to Christ, and he would try to plant a church and build up that church and build up leaders, and then he'd go on and do it somewhere else, like a missionary and a church planner. And so after he had gone to somewhere else, he's writing, he found out this, that there had been some false teachers that came in and started just twisting the truth and sidetracking people in their faith. And so obviously that's going to be a problem to Paul. And so he writes this letter in response. So verse 1 says, this letter is from Paul, an apostle, which means a called out one. In reality, each one of us is called out. He says, I was not appointed by any group of people or by any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Paul was saying, nobody appointed me to do this. This is something, no human. He said, I was called by God to do this. Jesus Christ himself called me to do this. And if you've read any of your New Testament, you know that in Acts chapter 9, that was what happened. He was on his way to Damascus. He was going to be going there to arrest Christians, put them in jail or worse, which he had already done. And I believe it was Acts chapter 5 or 6. Paul was there. He held everybody's robe so they could chuck the rocks at him and stone Stephen, a faithful witness of Christ. Paul was right there giving his approval as a leader, as a Pharisee. He was given that approval. And so he says, hey, I haven't been appointed by any man to do what I'm doing. I received that from God directly. I received that from the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and introduced himself to me and changed my path. Okay? Verse 2, all the brothers and sisters here with me send this letter to the churches of Galatia. He's just saying, hey, there's other people who want to say hi. They know what I'm talking about here, and we're standing in agreement. Verse 3, may God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And all God's people said, amen, I receive that, right? Yes. Verse 4, Jesus gave his life for our sins. Hallelujah. Just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. Aren't you thankful for that? Jesus rescued us. I mentioned this morning in the first service, some of you might have heard me say this. There was this t-shirt or meme I saw somewhere, and it had Jesus sitting down, and there was some superheroes. Anybody like superheroes? There's Superman and Batman, Spider-Man and Hulk and all. They're sitting around Jesus, and the caption is, "And that's how I saved the world." Jesus was speaking, and they're all going, "Wow, I just love it." Okay, and Jesus is my superhero, and I'm so grateful that he rescued us. He gave his life for our sins. He took our spot on the cross where God's holiness said that we would have to pay for our sins. Jesus stepped in and took our spot. Aren't you thankful for that today? Verse 5, Paul says, "All glory to God forever and ever. Amen." Church, I encourage you to live for God's glory. Then in verse 6, he jumps right in and says, "I'm shocked." He gets the other things out of the way rather quickly. And he says, "Hey guys, I'm shocked that you are turning away so soon, so quickly from God who called you to himself." I love the wording here. Who called you to himself. Again, you've heard me say this before. It's a closeness. It's a relationship. It's more than a one time. Yes, I went to an altar and I repented of my sins. Yeah, but what'd you do after that? You got to begin a relationship. You got to walk in it. You've got to learn. You've got to grow. Am I getting him excited? I'm sorry. I don't know how many people I've talked to like that. I know I used to work with the guy. I tried to talk to him about Jesus. "Oh yeah, I've been saved and baptized and all that. What about now? So that's just all in the past?" Larry, don't we sing, isn't there an old hymn that says he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by? Well, some people stop drinking. Stop drinking of the living water. They stop going to him, and you can tell by the way they live. I say that out loud. I'm sorry. Why are you turning away from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ? Hallelujah. I love this stuff. Jesus, God has called us to himself, and he made the way through Jesus. Then this last line on this slide, you are following a different way. They began to follow a different way that was not right. A different way that pretends to be the good news. You guys are getting off track, he said. You're following something that's supposed to be the good news, but it's too far out there. You've deviated too far. It's a different way, and it only pretends to be the good news. It's not in actuality the good news. That good news is the word gospel. If you ever hear that term gospel, it means the good news. It's very simple. The good news is that God sent his son Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, to die in order to forgive us so that we could live in heaven forever with God. That's why it's good news. God made a home for us and made a way. Let's see. I'm going to read that last part in verse 6 so we can go to the next slide because it's the same sentence. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it is not the good news at all. So you see why he's writing this letter. Too much deviation. You're just so far off now, it's not the gospel anymore. Okay? You are being fooled by those who are deliberately twisting the truth concerning Christ. And there's the problem. These individuals, Paul says they're deliberately twisting the truth. So then guess what? Twisted truth is no longer truth. But pastor, we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. In a lot of circumstances, I agree with that. And Paul had to filter this back down again. And we're going to look at that in the coming weeks. He had to filter it down again theologically. Okay? He had to filter it back down and say, okay, this is why it's not right. And we're going to get into that in the coming weeks. He was dealing with circumcision and that these false teachers were trying to say, hey, y'all have to go back and do and obey all of the law. Get circumcised and all that. If you don't know what that means, find somebody who looks smart and ask them what that means. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Look at the strong words he uses in verse 8. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news or gospel than the one we preach to you. Wow. Let's move on to verse 9. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches another good news than the one we welcomed, let that person be cursed. Paul was not cursing anyone. He was simply making the statement that if somebody is twisting the truth so far that way and they're no longer preaching the truth, then they fall under God's judgment by their own admission of that false doctrine. Pretty strong words, huh? But do you hear kind of a holy anger coming up in Paul there? The Holy Spirit was in Paul, and he's saying, this isn't okay, and we're not going to put up with it, all right? And so, verse 10, I'm trying to move quickly, and we only have 15 more slides. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Paul's saying, really, you can't please God and man. So just work on pleasing God. And so here in verse 11, and we're going to skip some verses, we're going to hit a few more, but we're... Right here, he begins to, and also in chapter 2, but here he begins to give somewhat of an autobiography about himself and the ministry and the calling that's on his life. Why is that? It's because he's being attacked by these false teachers who are saying, telling the churches in Galatia, you don't need to listen to Paul. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Paul hasn't been sent he hasn't been appointed, which we already talked about that being appointed part there in verse 1. He hasn't been appointed. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. Oh, and also, by the way, at times he has promoted circumcision. Okay? And so Paul has to kind of, he feels that he has to come back in and say, y'all need to remember who I am. I'm called by God, not anybody else. And here we're going to look at a few of those. In verse 11, he says, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preached is not based on mere human reasoning. Okay? In verse 12, I received my message from no human source. Aren't you glad that the gospel didn't originate with man? This good news didn't come from a person. It wasn't something that somebody dreamed up in the daytime or the nighttime, like some other religions. Did I say that out loud? There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. If you don't like that, that's your prerogative. But I believe in the Word of God. Don't be mad at me because... And don't judge me because other religions of the world say the same thing, that their way is the only right way. So don't be so mad at me. I'm not only closed-minded. I'm not the only closed-minded one. I received my message from no human source and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Now that's something, isn't it? And in reality, it didn't originate with Paul. But Paul received it from Christ on that Damascus road where he was heading toward Damascus to arrest some Christians. And he came along. Here comes Jesus, knocks him. Paul falls to the ground. Matter of fact, he became blind in that moment. He couldn't see. But it was Jesus. And he said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Can you imagine? Paul thought he was doing right, church. He was certain he was doing right. He was certain he was honoring God. And then he encounters Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because he was persecuting his people. Changed his life forever, didn't it? Verse 15, "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace." You are called and you are chosen. You're not called to be Paul. You're called to be who God wants you to be. You're not called to be Pastor Chad, and I'm not called to be any other pastor. I'm called to be me, and you're called to be you. So let's step into those roles. What do you say? You're called and chosen for such a time as this. You know that no leader can ever do it on their own. You guys don't know that? Okay, I might be going too long. Sorry. Your brains are getting dull, and I don't mean that as an insult. My brain gets dull often. I really don't mean that as an insult. Sometimes we get too much, okay? So, one more verse. "Then it pleased him," verse 16, "to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And I believe that's what Jesus revealed to him on that road to Damascus. "Hey, why are you persecuting me?" And then he went further and, "Paul, I'm going to use you." Probably blew Paul's mind. "Paul, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to reach Gentiles." "Wait a minute. I'm supposed to go to the Gentiles?" Just revolutionized this guy's life. And I feel that that's what this church is supposed to be part of. Watching, being a part of Jesus revolutionizing people's lives. I see it in my mind's eye. I see it. I see it often. I want you to start seeing it too. And then let's accomplish it for the Lord, with the Lord. No one comes to Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And none of us are the Holy Spirit, right? So we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us, which in reality, this is what this book is about. And you'll see we're going there. It's just going to take us a week or two to get there, okay? Bow your hearts with me. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, we can only absorb so much. But I just thank you for who you are, and I thank you for what you do. Holy Spirit, I receive of you, and I receive of what you have for us. And I receive, God, I want to lead your people well. Go with your people, these people, and those who couldn't be here this morning. Holy Spirit, go with them, and Lord, make your face shine upon them. Oh, God, and be gracious to them. Give them peace. Oh, Lord God, empower them through your Holy Spirit as they just simply call out to you and say, "Oh, Lord, do more through me than I've ever known you could." God, we give you all the praise, and we thank you. Lord, let us not be like Naaman. Lord, break down every wall Break down every wall that we built up in our heart because we were upset with you, because you didn't do it a certain way, or because a leader didn't do it a certain way, or because I didn't do it a certain way. Instead, God, bring healing. Oh, bring that balm of Gilead. Oh, Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you. I believe the Lord wants to heal somebody right now. I don't know who you are, but I would just challenge you to reach out to Him by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're the healer. Holy Spirit, do that work right now. Bring freedom. Bring freedom in Jesus' name. We rejoice in it today, God. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your name. We thank you for your power. We give you all the glory today, God. Lord, go with your people. Make your face shine upon them. Use them and lead others to Christ through them. Lord, may they be an encouragement, a challenge. May we be fun to be around, God. Lord, we give you all the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.